Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Well, we know this week talking a little bit about the Illinois High School Association releasing the 2022 high school football schedules. And, you know, we're so accustomed to games always being played on Friday night. We'll stop the presses because that's not going to happen. We already see changes and fluctuations in these schedules, and it's because of this officiating shortage. So I bring in a good friend and good listener to the program, Jason Foy. He's been officiating for 23 years. So I guess, we can begin our conversation. How do you think we got to this point? So I'm assuming when you started 23 years ago, it wasn't like this where you had to scramble to find crews to fill Friday night games and you had to adjust schedules or whatever. This is just, has it become just kind of a gradual trend of apparently people leaving by attrition, and then apparently we're not getting enough replacements? Is that kind of what's going on?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. You know, when I started 23 years ago, I replaced a retiring official on a crew of guys that I actually grew up with, and or grew up with them officiating my games and umpiring my games. So it was an easy move for me. But yes, as that time has gone on, guys have left, guys have moved, you know, family commitments, job commitments, and we're just not seeing the replacements step up or step in to fill those voids.
So I know this week a little, you know, after the schedule was released and here Rock Ridge had to move their game up to their week one game to a Thursday night situation. You know, there's been a lot of back and forth on social media. And I think one of the things I saw was from a pretty good source, basically kind of in the Quad Cities area, there's nine crews. You know, nine crews, and there's so you let's just do the math when you talk about conferences of the Three Rivers, of the Western Big Six, of the Lincoln Trail Conference, of the Prairie Land Conference, of the Northwest Upstate Illini Conference. So those nine crews can't go very far, and apparently that's why we're going to see a lot of changes in the schedule forthcoming.
And you just actually expanded on what I was going to say, because I'm like, yeah, that's nine crews in the greater Quad City area. That's not just in the Quad Cities. That's in the whole, I'm going to call it the greater Mercer, Henry, Whiteside, Rock Island counties. So, yeah, on any given night, just take the track, take the Big Six, take the Lincoln Trail. You know, half of those games in that conference are local. And so nine crews in that area, it's going to have Thursday nights and Saturday day games to make that work. And throw in this part of it, several of us crews also help and work some games on the Iowa side as well.
Yeah, that's not a good sign. So we know, you know, and we've heard ad nauseum, right, where we're at. All right, so it's not going to be corrected this year. So we already see kind of what is in play here in 2022, you know. So I know a couple of years ago, the only thing we complained about is the pandemic. When are we going to play? Well, okay, we're playing now. But the big issue is what's going to happen as we go forward. So there's not going to be a correction this year. We know that. There's just going to be a lot of changes. So I think we were texting a little bit back and forth Thursday night when you know this broke about some of these scheduling changes. So I think there's like an officiating conference or something that's taking place this weekend, and you had indicated, you know, hopefully there's some answers or some solutions, or somebody can have some type of planned attack. Now I know, you know, there's been kind of grassroots with officiating 101. The IHSA's kind of been promoting that, some officials getting involved. Is there an easy answer in all this, or how do you think you try to address this?
You know, with this weekend, it's the IHSA officials conference, you know, and Sam Knox is in charge of football officials, and Sam's a great guy, hard worker, an official, basketball and baseball official. So he sees it, he understands it, he sees it in those other sports as well. So hopefully this weekend generates some conversation on what we can do to go forward. And like you said, you know, you could bring on, you know, let's just say one new person, you know, today, but it's going to take you a while, just like it does in any other profession, to get that person trained up to speed, you know, get him outfitted or her outfitted and what they need, understand the flow of the game, you know, and that's tough. It's tough today because people don't realize that as a crew, and I'll use our five guys, you know, we generally travel together. And let's just say we're all on Friday nights only still. I mean, there are games because of destinations. We'll meet at 2 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. Well, for some guys, that means leaving work early to get to that location, wherever you're going to work those games. And then by the time you get home, it's midnight and, you know, and that's a long day, you know, and getting young people into this business. And you explain things like that, sometimes they don't want to make that commitment because of work, family, you know, other activities that they may do. So getting somebody new in is a process, and it's not just instantly throw you on the field for a varsity contest.
Yeah.
And it happens. It happened to me. But, you know, in a perfect world, you'd like to get them some experience at the lower levels before you do that.
Yeah. And I think that that's in play for all sports. So when you look at where we're at now, you know, not only as it relates to football, but all sports, and I think the pandemic, coming out of the pandemic, I think that has a little bit kind of to do with it, trying to get recharged and restarted. But yep. What else? I mean, why do you think, you know, people just don't want to officiate, or the numbers have decreased to a point where we're at? Is it busy? You know, because I think about, like, okay, there was a time in your life where you had a kid playing, so you couldn't officiate football because you wanted to see your kid play. You know, yep. So you have those type of situations. So you think of people kind of in that demographic that have kids playing. Well, they're not going to be able to commit for X number of years if they have kids playing. They're committed to watching their kids' activities. So, I mean, but do you think there's a reason why people don't want to officiate? I mean, is there just something that you see that are there? I'm assuming it's kind of a culmination of a lot of different things.
That's probably the most accurate there. You know, unfortunately, we're in a world today of social media, and you can look any day of the week, any time of the day, and there's something out there where they're blasting umpires, football officials, basketball officials. It doesn't matter the sport. You know, everybody's a critic, everybody's a keyboard expert, and, you know, and it's taken some of that trust and confidence out of it. And I think that's another thing driving it. You know, guys and gals don't want to get into it because they don't want to be a constant, you know, mark in that social media line. And so that's one. And we've talked about this time and time again. It's not a money-making adventure, but if you're in it to make money, you're in it for the wrong reason. Mm-hmm. You know, there's I've said this to you before, and I'll say it until I'm done officiating. There's nothing better than Friday nights, you know, so to say, the Friday night lights. If you don't get excited or pumped up for that, you know, you're not in it for the right reason. It, you know, and of course, the crew that I'm on, we have a good time. We all do stuff outside of football together, but so that plays into it, but it's just, you're out there to do a job, and you want those kids to be successful, because we've seen it. I mean, you've been around it for, I don't want to say hundreds of years, but a long time, you know, and there's nothing more than seeing that better. Than seeing that excitement that those young men and women bring to the playing field of the high school sports in Illinois.
Yeah, I steal the line of Glenn Cook. He's right. It keeps you young. That's the only thing he's ever been right about in his life, is that he's right. Yeah. If you're around the exuberance of youth, you stay young. There's no question about that. So when I saw, I think, you know, Kenny Graw's on your crew, Did he post you guys have been assigned, is it 27 games you're doing this year for football? Something like that?
Well, just varsity only at the moment. We have 16 games.
So, and people say, well, 16 games, all right, there's only a 9-week schedule. So that means you're going to be doing games other than Friday nights, apparently.
Yeah,
right?
And that is. And it's changed. You know, it's been, I think, as high as 18 now. Now we're down to 16 because there's been some different changes, you know, where a game maybe gets moved back to a Friday night and we're already booked for a Friday night. You know, Friday nights are completely full, you know. So now it's either a Thursday or a Saturday, and we have plenty of those on both sides.
Now, I will say, in getting back to the solution, and I've said this before, I think the IHSA is doing what they can do to try and promote the profession. I think, though, to me, it's going to have to start defaulting back to member schools to say, how are we going to address this problem? And we need to be actively engaged in the recruitment process. And when I talk about youth sports, you know, we talk about growing the game, you know, of whatever it is, baseball, softball, basketball, whatever the youth sport is. Well, I think there comes to a point too where the onus is on some of those youth sports leagues. Is it can't only be grow the sport. It's got to be grow the officiating base. And I was talking to my brother-in-law, Pat Lower, who's a basketball official and he's a football coach. And, you know, that's one of the things we were talking about is, you know, these youth leagues, if you're a renegade youth league and you're not doing a good job of protecting or encouraging officials, then you're ruining it. You're hurting sports and you're hurting interscholastic athletics in general. If you run a youth sports league and you're not doing a good job of, like I said, I don't want to necessarily say protecting officials, but growing officials, then you're hurting the sport because if the bad experience happens there, those people ain't going to continue working. Yeah. So I think that's another avenue. I would say member schools and the IHSA, they have to be actively engaged. But again, the growth in youth sports has been exponential, but apparently the growth of officials is not keeping pace with the growth of youth sports. And I say, well, I wonder why that is.
Yeah, you know, two things on that. One, I just had a great conversation a week ago with Kevin Gorgle, who I know you know Kevin. And Kevin's in the Moline School District, and we were talking about the lack of officials and across all the sports. And he said that they've even talked about providing some type of introduction slash training to the high school kids to get them more involved in whatever sport it is, soccer, baseball, softball, basketball, whatever, to help out with the shortage that there is, you know. And then Don Cook, who's also on our crew, does baseball, high school baseball. And I think Don said either 5 or 6 games this year he umpired by himself. Now, wow. I mean, you've been around baseball and softball, well, all spring, you know. And could you imagine trying to do – you're going to be behind the plate, obviously, but imagine trying to make those calls on the bases from behind the plate.
Yeah, especially when runners are at first and third and there's one out.
You know, it doesn't set anybody up for success.
Yeah, right.
No matter how you look at that, there's nothing, no success is going to come out of that because somebody on one side or the other is going to have something to say.
Yeah, and I agree with what you say about the example you gave with Kevin Gorgle and Moline about introducing youth, kids in high school, where they're nearing maybe graduation and looking at something, where they want to stay close to the game and they're not playing collegiately or they're not going to play when they're at trade school or they're not going to play if they're, in the military or whatever future they choose. But here is an opportunity to say, well, let's get these type of kids involved. And then I think even in the college level, if you go into like the recreation park and recreation departments or whatever, and you have an avenue there of getting kids a taste of just getting out there and officiating. So, you know, you talk about these officiating associations. They need to be involved, and they have been. The IHSA needs to be involved. They have been. Again, member schools need to be involved. Youth sports leagues, they need to be involved and have more of a productive relationship in all of this. So, I mean, those are kind of the things that all have to work together to kind of get this thing moving in the right direction, because, you know, we're talking about what's happening here in 2022 already, and the season hasn't even started. So if you're not going to make headway, the problem is only going to get worse. So will there be 9 officiating crews in the Quad City area next year? Maybe not. I don't know if guys want to continue, but I'm saying, well, we're only at 9. You need more than 9.
Yeah. You know, take our crew, for example. I'm the youngest guy in the crew, you know, and of course I still feel young, but I'm not, if you look at the number, you know. So how much longer are we going to stick around as a crew together? I mean, that's a conversation that gets had every year. You know, at the end of the year, we're like, oh yeah, we want to come back for one more. Oh, we want to come back for another one. So, you know, it's just, I'm 100% all ears and all in for getting these younger guys and gals into this sport. I'll do whatever I can. I know I'm not going to be doing it forever, but I will 100% always be an advocate for the IHSA and officiating. It's been a great, so many opportunities, so many friendships. I've seen some of the best games in the world from front and center, you know, and I wouldn't trade it. You know, it's taken me, I've been fortunate to work a couple big games, you know, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. You know?
And I think the other thing, too, you mentioned about, you know, being involved in it and engaged in it. We mentioned about keeping it, you know, keeps you young, but it's also relationship building, you know. And I say anything, you're not, you know, really anything, as you mentioned, you know, talked about even officiating, you know, or whatever your occupation is from 9 to 5, you know. It can't just solely be about the money, because if it is, you're going to live a sad life. you want to do what you like doing. I mean,
yeah.
That's my other message to people. You can find something that you like doing, and then also it's about you can call it sweat equity or whatever, of relationship building. Of, you know, that's the other part of, I think, what you're getting to is about when you've done it for a long time, you forge relationships maybe that you wouldn't have had, you wouldn't have had prior, and that's how that kind of enriches your life too. So you're not going to make a king's ransom, right, doing it, but your life's going to be enriched by doing it.
Yeah, and we've talked about this, and I'm not going to harp on this. There's no money in officiating. You're not in it to make money. And don't get me wrong. Yes, we get compensated each game that we work. But it's not like I'm bringing it home and rolling in it. And that's not even, that doesn't make one bit of difference to me. But that those friendships, those connections, those people that you see year in and year out, and it's the crews, that are your fellow officiating crews. It's the coaches. It's, you know, for me, and I'm going to use Coley as an example, obviously local, ran, you know, with Alito and took them to great places, but look at the two ball boys that he also brought with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, and with those guys, I mean, I had so much fun with those kids on the sideline when they were running balls that, you know, that's something that I would have never gotten the opportunity to see, you know. And then fast forward to Orion, and Chip had his kids doing it, and we had so much fun with them. You know, the school administrators, the school staff, even fans. I mean, you run into the same fans every year, you know, and the same people come back. I don't care if they have kids, grandkids are not playing, they continue to come back and support those local schools. And that's part of that Friday Night Lights, Thursday night this year, Saturdays this year. But I mean, that's what gets the blood flowing. And that's why we do what we do.
And you didn't even mention Dave Whiteman, or better yet, Marianne Whiteman.
I was trying to stay away from some of that, but I will tell you the last Knoxville game we worked last year, we left a little bit early to stop by and see D-Dub and Marianne. So,
well, you always got to
make the trip.
That's right. So as we close out here, so we're going to deal with this issue in 2022 for sure. So, I mean, what's your message kind of as you leave us today, just kind of about this? You know, it's something that we need to pay attention to, right? You know, all angles of this we need to pay attention to. But what else can you leave us with about this?
You know, I think we've paid attention the last couple of years, and now it's time to, it's basically time to start knocking on doors, expanding our search capabilities maybe. Like I talked with Kevin, maybe it's time to reach out to those high schools and see if we can implement something. You know, the IHSA has started their training course and it's free. There's no cost to anybody interested. And they give them a break on their licensing fees. It's basically time to start looking everywhere. And if they're looking for people to go out and promote the business, so to say, then, you know, and that's what it takes. I'm in with both feet.
Yeah, awesome.
So I don't want to see the kids in high school, no matter what the sport is, suffer or have games canceled or unable to play because of the lack of officials.
Yep.
You know, it brings so much to the schools, and I just don't want to see that happen.
Well, and, you know, when you can tell when you speak to people that love what they do, and I always think about, well, what do you, you know, why do you do it? Well, so for me, for example, I like the rush of whatever the day is on Thursday when I do Rockridge Princeton. What is that, the 25th? You know, kind of that summer breeze you feel in the press box a little bit. It's warm, but you feel it kind of on the back of your neck. And they put the ball on the tee, and you said, all right, we're going to start a new season, another season doing this. Now, I know you get the rush of that when maybe you blow the whistle for the first time, or you put the stripes on the first time, or you walk onto the field for the first time, and you say, man, I love this thing. I'm so thankful I get to do this. You know, I mean, that's kind of – that's where you're the enrichment in your life is at when you enjoy doing stuff like that. So you get that possibility. I mean, if you enjoy interscholastic athletics and you want to be kind of involved still, this may be an angle for you to do that, to officiate, right? I mean,
oh, absolutely, absolutely. And trust me, if somebody out there is interested and they're hearing this and they want to try it, give me an opportunity to bring you along for a Friday night or a Thursday night this year, or maybe even a Saturday game, and let me walk out there with us and feel the energy. And that energy, you know, that whatever that trigger is to get you pumped up for that night, it works, you know. And like you said, that Thursday night, August 25th,
that's
if
right.
I'm right, you know, that first night, it's not going to take anything to walk out on that field to get us, our, you know, at least my crew, jacked up and ready to go and fired up. And you'll see all five of us smiling at the entire night because we're back to what we like to do, we enjoy to do, and we have fun doing it.
Yeah.
So
then I was thinking about too, then it's also walking off the field at halftime through the Rusty Ruggles-led marching band at Mercer County High School. That's another. He'll say, why didn't you mention band on that interview, Taylor? So there I did. Just calm down, Rusty Ruggles.
There
all
you
right,
go.
See.
There you go.
All right.
Nothing wrong with Rusty.
So where are you at week one then? Are you doing a Thursday night game or just Friday night week one?
So that's going to be – there's my pumped-up excitement for to start the year. We'll be seeing Jim Taylor doing his pregame interviews on the sideline on Thursday night because we will be there.
It's the Amazon Prime Flex game on the NFL
exactly.
Network. All right, year 23 for Jason Foy. And then just I want to acknowledge the rest of your crew. Kenny Graw, who else is on that?
Ken Groh, Don Cook, Mark Burrell, and Les Heising.
Mark Burrell, the best 50 and over softball player I've ever seen play, right?
Exactly.
All right. Well, you guys keep up the good work, and we'll see you on that Thursday night as we get another season underway. And I guess we leave our listening audience think about officiating, because we know it's going to be a challenge here in 2022. Jason Foy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jim.
You're listening to WRMJ and WRMJ.com.